They do it at the beginning.
If you want to. I think there's one in there. Yeah, there's two in there. Oh, wow, there's two in there.
Okay.
I can hear you.
You can hear us in there?
Okay, so you're connected.
Okay, so you just stop.
My phone is here. That's about it.
The door.
Go ahead.
But there are state laws.
Do we want to put a check in here for you? At the end, so there's more.
Makes no difference.
That's fine. It's too late now. I'm going to start this meeting. Good evening. I'm calling this meeting to order at 7 p.m. And welcome to the August 12th, 2019 regular meeting of the Gustavus City Council. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Cook?
Here.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Here.
Mayor Cassidy?
Here.
Okay, there are 6 members present and a quorum exists.
Okay, thanks. Before I get into this real far, for folks, it's a big crowded meeting, but there's sign-up sheets at the back for folks who want to testify for either non-agenda items or there's 2 agenda items we figured folks might be interested in talking about these, about the proposed resolutions. So anyway, those are back there. If I get folks to sign up to those sheets so that we can figure out how many people want to testify and come up with a way to ensure everybody gets a chance to be heard. Okay, first on our agenda, number 3, approval of minutes.
Mr. Mayor, may I move to approve the minutes of the July 8th, 2019 general meeting and the July 22nd special meeting?
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from our general meeting of July 8, 2019 and our special meeting of July
22, 2019. Excuse me. Could you speak up on my hearing and my right ear and, pushing the angel in here? I can't hardly hear.
Would you like to sit
Can you come up, sit up close here so you can be closer to us?
Yeah, I can hear what you're saying. So.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the July 8th, 2019 general minutes and the July 22nd, 2019 minutes. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes?
I didn't hear the last part of that. So.
Is there anybody who wishes to add or correct to any of the minutes that were distributed for our previous meeting?
Well, obviously, meetings? I wasn't here, so I wouldn't be doing that.
Do any council members wish to make additional corrections or comments to the minutes? Okay. Is there any objections to you to unanimous consent for approving the minutes? Okay, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Mayor's request for agenda changes, I have none. There were no requests for changes to the agenda, and I have no changes to suggest for myself. If there's unanimous consent, I would like to set the agenda. Unanimous consent, the agenda is set. Next on the agenda is committee and staff reports. We're going to start with the Gustavus Children's Enhancement Program. I guess she's not here yet, huh? Okay, we'll move on to Paul, if you want to come forward and do the disposal and recycling center.
Sure. Since so many people came to hear my report.
I'm
very honored.
Before you start there, Paul, I wanted to mention a few things. First of all, I understand that you have 25 years of service with the city and that
with the community.
Before you get started, I wanted to pass along to you a certificate of appreciation for 25 years of service to our community. We have a little lapel pin that we've got to kind of mark at Gustavus. And then there's also a little certificate here on the back as well for you, as a small token of our appreciation for all your hard years working for our community. But thank you very much.
Okay.
Now you can give us your report.
What I like about this report in August, and if whoever's doing the thing can bring up the 5-year rolling average report, that this is really what I like about this report. And those top three lines, I think, tell us the most because they tell us how much material is being recycled, which means it's being brought to the facility and then it's somehow getting repurposed. Either by being composted or being crushed and land spread or by being baled and sent out, and then pounds of recycled, non-recycled trash, that's the mound. That is our what stays in the community. And then the third line is kind of the two of those combined, and you can really see in that second line how much our mound is growing and how quickly it's growing. And I look back in FY08, which is the first year I started keeping this kind of data, we're almost at 100% increase from where we were in FY08 in terms of, you know, doubling. And as I like to point out, while the rate of trash doubles, the size of our building doesn't double. So that, I just kind of keep that in perspective. But this report just kind of gives an overall picture of changes in time. And I'm also very pleased under income, the VRC, which combines the community chest and sales of recyclables, compost, and stuff like that, actually had over $100,000 in income, which is mind-boggling. The expenses aren't quite settled yet because we still have some outstanding stuff from the previous fiscal year, so I didn't want to put a number on that since it would be adjusted, but it will be slightly, actually will be around what it was the previous year because we did not have a hazardous waste collection event this fiscal year that this represents, and that's a big expenditure. But anyway, that's one of my favorite things with the August report is just, there's a lot of help in the waste streams. In my report, I used to talk about labor. Yes, I did mention that 25 years. I also propose that I wanted the council to work on for the next fiscal year is the creation of a DRC operator position. This would be a succession, part of the succession planning for my position so that there's someone who is trained. Because we have a labor pool right now with 5 individuals, and while I can train each one of them, it's kind of hard to focus on one of them as being your replacement. So I see the DRC operator position as an easier means of kind of focusing on one individual, and by not guaranteeing at-will employment, but by having a year-round position, that would kind of encourage this individual not to take part-time work in either the school or guiding or one of these things. It kind of makes it difficult to work at the DRC year-round. So this is something that I hope the council, the next council as well, can work on as we go to the next fiscal year. I wanted to have people to have plenty of time to work on that. Got some notes on the compost scene. We are seeing a lot more food waste being composted. Because we don't have the hog farm, and also got more people using and participating in the system. The challenges of getting enough wood chips for the operation, because you pretty much use them up while you can screen them and reuse portion of them. You basically need a new supply of wood chips as you go forward, so that as you compost more material, you need more wood chips. And I kind of brought this to your attention because that is going to come up. In my work with the Zender Group, I did my first outreach, which was to the community of Huna, which is a real thrill for me to actually be able to do that, to see the Huna landfill firsthand, and to meet some of the people involved with the solid waste thing over there. I was really pleased to be able to have a firsthand experience with that, and have an individual, Jeremy Grant, who works with the Huna Indian Association as an environmental office, to work with on perhaps working together. They would like to improve their solid waste operations, and there are some things that Huna might be able to help us with because of their connection with AML. It might be a cheaper shipping one. I'm not sure on that, but that's something that I want to look at. In the community chest, I'm very pleased to announce that they've pulled in over $16,000 in the last fiscal year, which is a new record. I think, you know, when the community chest started, it was generally around $10,000, and this has slowly ramped up. And a lot of that is because we have a town of shoppers, but we also have a very good support crew, and I'd really like to thank Betsy Lesh and the others for keeping the community chest going like it is. And as you've all noticed, donations have to be while the facility is open. We may play with that going in the winter. I don't know. That's kind of a decision between Betsy, volunteers, and myself as far as managing that flow. It's gotten busy enough, though, that they really need a second person on Saturdays to deal with just incoming donations and whatnot. The solid waste management planning process, thanks, Tom. I've been putting a lot more effort into this. Because I know both Tom and individuals on the council would like to see a plan for Gustavus and solid waste. And this is a big deal for me. One, because I don't know what I'm doing, but also I really want to lay out a very useful document that kind of touches a lot of different things, like how you would tie in a community chest, how you would tie in changes in personnel, how you would possibly or may do some fee changes and adjustments. You know, if our whole scheme is around charging less if things are recycled, perhaps if we had parties who were bringing sorted quantities of a given material, that they would receive a price break, especially if it's ready for shipment. But these are things that a solid waste management plan can look at, you know, when you're trying to improve a system that's dealing with a lot more waste, but to make it, you know, something that works well and is sustainable and isn't too hard for the customers to figure out. On the capital project summaries, I think the community chest maintenance, you probably, anybody who's gone by the building has seen the new double wall heating oil tank in there. We're pleased to finally have in there. That was the bulk of that repair, although painting has been a part of that and some minor repairs on the steps and stuff like that. Paul Dubé has done most of that work. And then there's been volunteers helping with the painting. The Quonset replacement, as you remember back in May, I had an RFQ ready, but it was not ready for prime time. So that project has gone back to, not the drawing board, but a little ways back. But I'm working with Matt Davis and an engineer that he works with in Juneau to make that project go forward. So we're basically looking at constructing that next summer, although it's been brought to my attention with dock being rebuilt, that's probably going to throw off the spring timeline as far as having that actually get going when I was hoping it would. Anyway, there's a lot of work on that, but I'm taking advantage of having that project being reworked to make sure that we have a water supply as part of the system and electrical as part of the system. Haven't been any real changes in the inflow storage project area, that area between the fence and Fort Harbor Road. I hope to have an RFQ for that drafted, or at least for you guys to look at next month. And if it's ready, go for it, but at least get something on the council's table as far as that project. And likewise, there hasn't been any real changes with the purchase of the household hazardous waste facility for holding hazmat waste. So that's kind of what I got there. Any questions?
Okay. Questions for Paul? Anybody?
Quick one, Paul. With the full-time operator position, was that intended to kind of bridge the gap when you retire and start a year or two before, or is that supposed to be in addition to?
And it's seasonal, full-time, part-time. I kind of see it as it definitely would be overlapping. That person would have more hours than I would. As a get-go, but you can't really train them for the manager position if you're not working with them. And they're not, I mean, it's, yeah, so they would be full-time in the summer because they would be, because currently you have one group of people working this day and a different group of people working this day and then, you know, some other combination of them working on Saturday. And so you would have the DRC operator working all of those days, and then the labor pool would be in support of that. Then in the winter, you know, it would drop down. There would only be two people on Saturdays, you know, so there wouldn't be as much in the winter. And they wouldn't be doing so much in management as just being shown what that is, what our budgeting process is, what our permitting with the state is, and what our, you know, purchase order for waste services that we have with the park. They would kind of be shown these things. They wouldn't necessarily be working them. That would be something that is the manager's position. And then when I'm not there, the council would decide, is it going to be a DRC manager operator position? Is it going to be a DRC manager, a separate operator? I mean, that, it basically changes every time you have a changeover. I mean, to me, this is just as good a successional plan as I can come up with.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Are you talking about a position to add to the FY21 budget?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are you open for questions? Are you opening it to the public?
We're not. If you have a question for on the specific matter of the operation of the recycling center, I encourage you to ask him directly about that.
Well, I have one. I mean, if you'll allow me, you said that the life expectancy of the landfill is almost at peak. So what is the city going to do? How many more years? Do we have 18 months? Do we have 2 years? I drive by there, and there's tons of trash, probably 10 foot tall. I was born and raised in Juneau. As you very well know, in Juneau, they got a 40-foot tall heap of trash, uneven drive there, and it's right next to a freshwater stream, a spawning stream, which is exactly where
We know that we're in trouble as far as the trash pile goes there, and that's part of what Paul's been working on, this solid waste management plan.
You can come by and look at the solid waste management plan to answer questions. We can't answer your question tonight. It's a huge question. There's a lot of different things that make up the answer to that question.
So you've been there for 25 years. You think you've been able to.
This is not the place we're having this discussion. I encourage you to have this discussion with him at the recycling center and help out with his solid waste management plan, but that's something we've been working on with him for a while now. Okay, the city clerk.
I'll keep mine short. Looks like there's a lot of people here tonight that hopefully have stuff to say. I attended two conferences early this spring, the first of which was an international CERC conference in Birmingham, Alabama. It was amazing. I learned a lot. I probably won't be attending this conference again for the next couple of years because they're so far away. I'm going to wait for it to come back to the West Coast. And the next training that I went to was the Northwest CERC Institute, and that was in Washington State, and that was my second session of three that I'll need to become a certified municipal clerk, and I'm a year ahead of schedule on that, so I'm hoping by November I will have all the requirements needed to be certified. Can you go to the next page, please? Just a few things that we've finished in the office was the business directory that went out in June. We've had a lot of new businesses get permits since then, and they will be added to the list next year. And then we logged an additional 12 and a half hours with Karen volunteering with last quarter. And Aaron, a few months ago, we passed a resolution to create a policy on social media, and Aaron Olson has volunteered to help me create that page, so hopefully that will be up and running soon. That's really all I have to report. Do you guys have any questions?
Any questions from the council for Karen? Okay, thanks, Karen. Okay, Tom, you're up next.
So there's only a couple of updates from the report at the work session last week. We have a response to the request for proposal for the beach parking lot site plan. hand, we have received a response to the RFP for the ground pitch travel per day. In terms of the beach, I've been working with Council Member Cook on some alternate barrier and improvement solution. I think she's going to update the council on her work with Beach Crew. Councilmember Cook, you want to do that now?
Do that. Just as you know, the original, or the first RFQ came back more money than we expected it to be. It's like $23,000, but we were looking at cedar posts and cement and different things, but I've been doing some legwork this week and finding we have a local source of logs that are already felled and limbed that we can purchase for basically the price of firewood, and we can get as many as we need for down there that we've talked about that's been in the plan so far. Please correct me if I need to interject anything, just make sure I don't forget anything. And then, and by the way, these ideas came up from the public meeting that we had a week or two ago now with the beach group that was held here that was advertised. And within that, we had about 16 people show up for that, and from that group, they were on board with these suggestions that I'm kind of bringing these to the council. So in addition, instead of trying to do temporary installations of logs on the west side where it's been talked about, replacing those with cement barriers that could be moved later when that area is closed off. But if you recall, we talked about it at the work session where some of the Jersey barriers, the large cement barriers, I can't think of another word, barricades, two of them could be placed in that road section, and then basically some parking logs that would be able to help change behavior of people from driving out there, but it would still allow for parking on that west side at this time. That makes sense. And then on the east side, it's still using the spruce logs, basically just planted, not cemented or anything, in my hope that eventually they would come out once the vegetation took back or came back, and there would be no cement left behind or anything like that to deal with. I'm not forgetting.
Beach Park side.
Oh, just that. So there was some question about the kind of the welcome sign, where it would be placed. At this time, it's still a question. But I'm thinking two smaller signs, one on each side, on the property that we manage as opposed to in DOT right away to kind of bypass all of that stuff. I don't think I talked about that today or when I did my meeting yesterday. That's kind of where it's at right now. The cement barriers, we have them, and we could move. Basically, there's some behind the tank farm that apparently the city owns.
No.
And can.
You don't. Just to clarify, I'm not trying to catch.
No, that's fine.
It is great property from the old tank farm that we put around the back side.
Oh, okay. So we have to come up with some, if that's the case, if we want to go with those cement barriers of some sort, we have to find those. It was my understanding that he had some somewhere. Maybe I was thinking of the wrong area. So that's kind of the current thing. Thanks.
Okay, considering that, you got any room for open comment?
There's a space on the agenda for non-agenda items if you sign up for that.
An agenda item? It's just my comment. Yes,
sign up for non-agenda items, and you can talk about this. This was the
he
city administrator.
Yes, my office can say something, but I'm not allowed to.
Tom, you want to continue with your?
The only other update I have has to do with our state legislator's visit. came up with the questions. The council saw what the questions we sent off for them to prepare for, in addition to whatever else we might have for them. In addition, I included some questions concerning funding for the Alaska Marine Highways system, Alaska Statute 1965-050, that Councilmember Warner had brought up and asked me to include on the list. Outside of that, the report is the same as it was last week.
Okay, council questions for Tom. Okay. Public comment on non-agenda items. I have seven people listed here. I'm just going to start with the top. Start at the top of the list, and you can come forward. Ask you to identify yourself for the record, and try to keep your comments limited to 5 or 10 minutes. Linda
Parker.
Okay.
I'm about to say that, but thank you for this opportunity. My name is Linda Parker, and I'm here tonight not only as a voice for myself, but as stand-in for the voice of 259 others as represented in this stack of letters that I will give the mayor, or to the council, or elected officials. It is appropriate, I think, to explain the genesis and the evolution of how these letters came to be. On July 18th, a letter from the City of Gustavus entitled Town Hall Meeting Series Topics was mailed and received by some, but not all, local residents. It's a small town, so the buzz started. What is this all about? There were questions regarding the origins, the timing, motivations, and a lot of conversation on the issues that could, if implemented, be perceived as a threat to a long-cherished way of life. There were strong opinions, and the city was asking for input. But some felt they lacked the ability to adequately express themselves. They asked if I could represent what they communicated in a letter, not a petition, that they could sign as being from themselves, their personal input as requested by the city mailing. And so I did. The letter and participation form were created and intentionally written so that the positions taken would express what I heard them clearly telling me, and so as not to be open to ambiguity or vague interpretation. What happened next was unexpected and a complete surprise. Residents began asking for copies to give to their friends and neighbors that they knew or suspected felt the same. At our house, the phone started ringing off the hook from those wanting a copy to sign for themselves. People showed up at our door to ask if they too could sign. In all cases, the letter that I wrote to the City Council on behalf of the original group, accompanied by the participation form, were given together so that people could have them overnight or for several days to carefully read and digest. All were instructed that if they wanted to sign, they should strike and initial any part at all that they disagreed with and to add their own comments at will, whatever that might be. And they did. Read them, and you will find variations of input that will, when someone disagrees or has additional ideas, speak for themselves. Most expressed appreciation that the letter was not politically based, but rather an on-point descriptive narrative that spoke for them in a way that they could wholeheartedly affirm. And all of this happened in less than 2 weeks' time. So here we are. And as a matter of interest, I think it's important to look at the demographics that the 259 letters represent. Represented in these letters is an astounding, accumulative 5,300-plus Gustavus years of deep connection, contribution, investment, love, and wisdom as it relates to actual time in our tiny, remote Alaskan settlement. And ranging from a lifetime of over 85 years in Gustavus to first-year residents who have a lot to say when you talk to them about why it is that they came to move here in the first place. The education level embodied in these letters ranges from recent graduates of our Gustavus High School, college and advanced degrees, and everywhere in between, school teachers, medical backgrounds, engineers, law enforcement, including former FBI, even 4 or 5 lawyers, along with some magna cum laude graduates of the School of Hard Knocks. By the way, I am really proud of our recent graduates who, after finding the letter and forms floating around, asked if they too could sign. In fact, an attached letter written by Dustin Cosby, a heartfelt account from a young person's thoughtful point of view, will be read by Karen Milligan as the next speaker when I am finished. Just a short letter. Dustin, of course, being a homegrown young man who married a lifetime Gustavus girl, Marina Ortega, and owns a beautiful home off Wilson Road. Also, you will find that many of our business owners, whom are often in the position of understanding the direction and pulse of the community in a unique way, have signed and are asking to be heard. Included in these letters are former council members and Gustavus mayors. There are part-time residents who have, like clockwork, spent 40 years as an integral part of our larger Gustavus family, and full-time residents who get out themselves every winter for sun and doctor's appointments. There are landowners looking forward to building and spending more time in the future. There are retirees, families with children, people whose work takes them elsewhere off and on, and single moms. Some have buried their loved ones here, and many have burial plots set aside for themselves in our little cemetery when the time comes. But all call Gustavus home, part or full time, and return over and over again. They bring their friends here, they spend their money and invest here. Their friends purchase homes, invest, and spend money here, and then their friends do the same, and on and on. So what are we all saying? What's the bottom line? To understand why 259 people largely reject the ideas of land use designation and zoning, restructuring of sales taxes, local law enforcement, and the first-class city question, or many of the ideas in the strategic city plan draft, one must understand that we fundamentally look at these things through a different lens. And I hope not, but there may well be a Grand Canyon between the two. We do not look at what we don't have and want to get, but what we have and don't want to lose. And the most important of these are not tangible. We don't want to wake up someday and see everything we loved about the Gustavus in the rearview mirror, all in the name of progress. We don't look at what and how we can regulate or fix every flaw, but how we can preserve the rare privilege of self-governance, imperfections and all. We don't want to conform to the way someone or somewhere else is doing something, or we'd be living there. We can decide what's best for us here and now. It's one of the most talked about, unique, and singularly important things that draws people to Gustavus. Just listen to the people, and it comes up as number one, over and over. The envy of so many who only dream that such a place exists. One person who signed the letter said it best, and I paraphrase slightly. He said, "I love the fact that this is one of the few places left on Earth where people can voluntarily exercise their personal responsibility and step up to the plate to do what's right in spite of the fact that there is no law enforcement or heavy-handed oversight looking over their shoulders." In general, I think I can speak for the majority of the people who signed these letters in saying that we appreciate the library, the fire department, having a DRC, infrastructure maintenance like the roads, bathrooms at Salmon River Park and at the dock, basic services. We are not a group of uneducated, nostalgic-driven people with our heads in the sand opposing change for change's sake. But something has seriously run amok when 22 regulatory signs mar the natural beauty of our now sterile boat harbor, a figure that outnumbers all the trucks, boats, and trailers that park there on any given day. Who would not agree that this might be a prime example of regulatory overreach? And now for many, there is fear that the open beach areas will soon follow suit with barricades, signs, restrictions, and deflated community spirit. Many have noted that the overall strategic plan draft of the city is vague, open for interpretation, lacking realistic goals or identification of projected costs and how things would be paid for. Many business folks see wide open interpretive objectives in the plan, which may be a simple matter or an untenable can of worms. It's difficult to know if one supports an idea or not when it's vague, ambiguous, and no one knows for sure what the words increase, support, assist, create, manage, or ensure actually means. There seems to be a disconnect between what a 400 or 500 population such as ours should be talking about with pie-in-the-sky big city ideas on one hand and extreme small-town overreach on the other, like intrusive proposed cameras at the beach and harbor. As I listen to people, I hear a few simple practical needs. They ask if the city could be an advocate in using its influence to bring more cell tower coverage. Excuse me, let me get some water. They asked if the city could be an advocate in using its influence to bring more cell tower coverage for our businesses and residents. Many expressed a long-range idea of exploring the possibility down the road, recognizing that the state is currently in fiscal freefall, of partnering for a protected boat harbor for the safety of its residents and protection of their boats. Some mentioned more frequent road gradients so the washboards don't beat their vehicles to death. Beyond that, and what we already have, there are few wishes or wants, but to be left alone and to live in peace. We're like family here, complete with flaws and disagreements. But blood runs thicker than water, and when we need to pull together, we do it in spades. We are, after all, bonded together by mountains and water on four sides and roads that lead only to each other. But there are a number of our residents who do not often sit at the table. You won't find them at meetings or serving on committees. They don't conform in that way. Yet they should have a voice, and they have strong opinions. There are ways the city can hear from them. This stack of letter that I bring tonight proves that point. And I can offer some ideas going forward if anyone's interested. But for now, here's the message from 259 members of our DeSavis family, wrapped up in three simple but powerful words. Less is more. Less is more. These 259 DeSavis members are imploring our elected city council members by their responses to adopt these three little words as a guiding principle, perhaps emblazon them on the walls of City Hall, to govern in such a way as to always ask the larger question, to view the broader picture, to add up all the small parts, the daily minutiae of decisions that by themselves may make sense. They may solve an isolated problem, but when taken as a whole, they begin to diminish and suffocate a way of life so many hold dear. To always individually ask themselves, and corporately, how can they govern in such a way as to result in the least restrictive impact, the least obtrusive result, preserve the rare and envied uniqueness about this rare and envied place. To always remember that we don't have to conform to the way everybody else is doing something. To remind themselves that it takes no innovation and little creativity to add more rules and regulations, more signs, write more ordinances, erect more barriers, or spend more money. And this is not a personal attack on present or past council members. It's just a tempting enticement of mankind to overmanage and control each other. I think we all fight that. To keep on track, it could be called the Gustavus Challenge, to see what unique and colorful ideas and solutions could represent our community in the least restrictive way. Remember, we are not looking at what we don't have and want to get or to become, but what we do have and we don't want to lose. True story. Martin is a young man from Germany who has visited Gustavus three times, including this summer. In fact, he is so impressed with this place that he and his wife chose to get married here. His job in Germany takes him to a lot of different countries, and so he has experienced the world. He goes back home and tells his friends of the American freedoms in general that we all take for granted. Then, as a small subset, there's Gustavus, and he goes back to tell his friends of a largely autonomous and self-governing place of 400 or 500 friendly, happy people who live isolated with no law enforcement or heavy hands. And he finds it almost too difficult to express in words. And his friends find it too impossible to believe. He will be back. And I hope next time more of you can meet him as I did this summer. And the most relevant question to ask is right there. From Martin to our part-time residents, what is there about Gustavus that keeps bringing them back? And what keeps us all here? To wrap up, we want to thank the City Council for your service. You are our family members, too. We appreciate the tough job that we do, that you do. We would ask as you sit at the table that you remember and listen to those who don't come to the table very often, the more private and silent, immediate, and extended family members, and to find a way to hear from them going forward on a regular basis. Perhaps your toughest job as council members is to hear the heartbeat of the quieter voices in the community when louder voices are often front and center. But it's the tough job that needs to be done. Perhaps these voices and these letters will lend support to those of you on the council who deep down feel the same way. Everyone deserves to be heard. Please remember these 259 people and what they had to say when in the future they're taking action and considering what's best for us all. Thank you. Here's our letter.
It's a packet of this week and what we sent out.
Comments? Questions from the council? Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, Linda.
Yeah.
Thanks, first of all. A couple questions. I'm sure you've learned a lot from your outreach. They probably didn't all make it into print on the letters. I was wondering if you'd be open to talking with me or maybe another council member about it sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That would be great. I'll talk to you sometime.
And some ideas we have going forward that we can listen to the people that are out there. They have strong opinions, but they just don't conform in the way.
Sure.
And then they get angry, of course, when something happens here because they didn't have input. And I think we need to find ways to get their input.
Thank you. My second question is... I guess because we're supposed to ask in the form of questions for this portion. Are you aware of the two draft resolutions we've got later in this meeting? Have you got a chance to look at those?
I have not.
Okay.
But, and also we are jumping on a plane to go to, but is there a reason you asked?
We do have two draft resolutions that are semi-similar. One has to do with budget limitations,
and
another one has to do with public outreach.
I am familiar with the first.
I just wanted to.
But I would love to talk to whoever would like to.
Any other questions, council members? Okay, thank you. Next is Karen Milligan.
My name is Karen Milligan. I'm a part-time resident. I come in the summer, and I have come for 19 years. I absolutely love Gus Davis. Linda's speech is a tough act to follow, and so I'm not going to put forth any more of my own ideas. Instead, I'm going to read a letter from Dustin Cosby. When we looked at these forms, his letter stood out. It, in a very poetic way, explains what so many of us feel. He begins, "Everyone who has ever lived here knows that Gus Davis is a special community. Even geographically, it is unique, being implausibly surrounded on three sides by Glacier Bay National Park. When I think about that, I consider the reasons the national park system was originally created. It was created to set aside beautiful and unique places for the benefit of current and future generations. To not allow these places to be swallowed up in the pursuit of growth, just for growth's sake. Due in part to this constrained location within the park, Gus Davis has always also felt like a special safeguarded place. The amount of freedom and the strength of community is unparalleled by any other, city, town, or village within the nation. We should recognize these qualities for what they are and work not to change them, but to preserve them for the benefit of future generations. Since I was a child here, every single step made down the road of progress has served only to water down the individuality that makes Gus Davis what it is. I want my children and their children to be able to experience the same fantastic Gus Davis that I did. And every new ordinance or body of government created makes me wonder if our same amazing small town will even still exist. When you ask yourself if and how Gus Davis needs to change, I urge you to also think back to the creation of the national park, to try and take the same long-term view so often lacking in our society, so hopelessly addicted to the opiate of visible progress. The hardest and bravest decision to make is often the decision to do nothing, to recognize what we already have and not destroy something great in the impossible pursuit of something perfect." And it says sincerely, Dustin Cosby.
Questions from the council? I don't know how you question a letter, but...
Mayor Kelsey? Can I just make sure that that letter is included in this?
Okay. It is attached. It's attached to his form.
Okay.
And there are a lot of other letters.
I see that. Thank you.
Next on our list is Wayne Howell.
Thank you. My name is Wayne Howell, and I just wanted to talk briefly about the situation down on the dock. I've been coming and going quite a bit this summer, and in my coming and going, I've have become concerned about the feeding and habituation of sea lions going on down there. I know it's been going on for a long time, but several of the things I've observed cause me concern. Feeding of the sea lions off of the floats, and then also some of the charter operations feeding them on the swim steps, encouraging the sea lions to jump up on the swim steps. And my concern is that the sea lions are, of course, learning to associate humans with food, and are also learning to associate climbing up on things with getting a treat. And I think it might be a matter of time before the sea lions are either coming up onto the floats and starting to occupy those as they have in other places, or heaven forbid that they might start coming up and nipping at people as they have done in Ketchikan and Kodiak places. So I just bring that to your attention as something I've observed and causes me concern. And I hung out down there the other day just to kind of see the pattern. And first of all, I can say pretty much everybody is throwing fish waste off the dock or the floats. It's just a common practice. I think just everybody does it. I'm not advocating for the total elimination of that. It's just the intentional feeding of sea lions. And what I saw is that it's often for the entertainment of guests. And I heard that discussion going up as well. So I just bring that to your attention as a public safety concern. And that's all.
Any questions for Wayne on this? I just wanted to make a Wayne. One suggestion that we were given is, you know, the city could write a letter to folks and ask them not, you know, make them aware they're not supposed to feed sea lions, that kind of thing. Do you think that would be helpful? If so, I mean, that's one of the things we could do right away.
One thing, in watching it, one approach would be to encourage people to just dispose of the fish waste, not at the dock, but, you know, either coming and going from the dock, and so farther away from the dock, so the sea lions are not being encouraged to come in around the dock. And so, you know, dispose of waste away from the dock, and either in their coming and going. Yeah, and then locals, same thing.
Well, I know that Tom and I have been talking about this, so maybe we can get together here in the next few days and
sure.
Maybe come up with something. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to change the way of life. I'm just worrying if somebody's going to get hurt.
That's a valid concern. I mean, everybody's heard about situations in other places where that has happened, and it always turns out not very good for the sea lion.
Yeah, and no, it doesn't. And just an example of one thing that happened with me, I like to kayak a lot, and I've had several instances where sea lions have come in and followed the kayak, and I'm just hoping that sea lion doesn't think my kayak is a swim step, and that he's going to associate me with food and think that the sponge on the back of my deck is something that looks like it would be fun to eat. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Wayne. You're welcome to sign up for non-agenda items if you wish to discuss.
Come on up.
Okay, come on up.
Wait.
No, you need to sign up. There's
okay.
Other people in front of you.
Thank you for
running the grinder. I think it's the whole. Okay, next is Harvey Wheaton.
Oh, that's me. I'm in trouble. I don't have a letter proposed or anything else like that. The reason why I showed up this evening is because of the fact that it's been brought to my attention that Gus Davis is obviously wanting to try to make a first-class borough second-class borough may be considered joining with Hoonah. I don't know that. This is the very first meeting I've ever attended, so if I got my facts and figures all wrong, I apologize. I'm opinionated sometimes. I worked for the state of Alaska for almost 30 years. I'm pro-union. I believe in the union. I side with the little people that started out the way I did, that kind of thing. The things that I wanted to take and point out is for my taxes, I pay light, fuel, phone, cable. For the phone, the thing that irritates me is I pay for 911 taxes, and there's no service for 911 here. I've had to use it three times, and you either get all the Juno, Wrangle, or Ketchikan. My son was injured twice, and one was a motorcycle accident, and I can't remember what the other two were, but anyway. I feel there's a monopoly in Juno. I mean, I'm sorry, Juno. Gus Davis. We have only a couple of businesses here, and they're all owned by the same people. We're limited on food because of the ferry system. Our oil's only brought in, as far as I know, by one company, and the propane is also, oil and propane are operated by the same company. The other thing that I wanted to address was, I was going to take and name these people, but there is a charter business, they're religious, they're Mormons, and they have gone out of the way. I've witnessed them 2 to 3 times this year, well, not this year, I'm sorry, last year and this year, bringing up totes of fish, clean, no bones, you know, like the way fishing game rules and regulations point out. And the one time I tried to take a stop, the manager of the fishing charter business, and he just ran up the ramp and wouldn't even pay attention to me. It's organization is here. They pay $300 a year, as far as I know, per boat. Might be wrong on that, too, because I don't know. I'm told that the residents of Guest Davis are not allowed in their establishment, only their guests that purchase charter boat, whatever you want to call it, stuff there, are allowed to do business at their establishment. Basically, and the other thing I was going to try to bring up was, as far as I can remember, when I was working for the state, city, or whatever, in general, there was EEOC, and in Gus Davis, I went over to the Gus Davis Community Center, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if the Gus Davis City put that out to bid or whatever, but there should be an EEOC sign within 25 feet after you walk into the establishment or before it. There should be insurance. There should be, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't see any of that stuff happening either at the gasoline station, the grocery store, Wings of Alaska, or not Wings of Alaska, Alaska Seaplanes. I mean, they might be in different places that I don't know about, but I'm not seeing that kind of stuff here either. That's all I've got, sir.
Go ahead, Mike.
I have a question on your 911 calls. Are those made on cell phones or on the landline?
Cell phone.
Are you aware that our landlines are the ones that 911 goes to our local dispatch?
I don't have a landline.
Yeah. And,
but no, I did not know.
Cell phones, yeah. Cell phones go to the cell phone carrier, and they're currently going to the troopers now.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They are currently, they go to the troopers to dispatch, and then our...
Is that all troopers dispatch, or is it just one city?
It goes to the state troopers dispatch in Ketchikan,
okay.
And then they call us. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
No, I did not. Any more questions?
Any more questions for... Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Next on the list is Karen Sargent.
I'll just do that. I'll do that. My name is Karen Sargent. Good evening. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. I recently read a letter that has been circulating around town. I totally support and applaud people expressing their opinion, but its critical and adversarial tone saddens me. I saw terms like railroaded, bulldozed, freight train, braided, baited, tricked, and afraid to express opinion. And that just made me feel really bad. I mean, and I don't understand it. I get the coming to meetings part. They are sometimes brain-numbingly boring. No. and it is hard. It is really scary and hard to stand up and say your opinion because people won't agree with you. But there's other ways to do it too. And it's in a more anonymous way. People can, they could serve in the city government, but that's huge, and I totally get that. I mean, I am not well-suited to that myself. It's time-consuming, it's hard, it's thankless. Speaking up at a council meeting is really scary. But if you don't have the time or the energy or the inclination to do that, or you feel too self-conscious, you can also send a letter to the to the council. You can send an email, you can call on the phone, or you can walk in during office hours. Probably the least effective way to be heard is to rant on Facebook and complain and criticize to others. But I implore our citizens to not judge people they don't know without making an effort to personally interact with or observe their behavior at meetings. It is not helpful, nor is it honorable. It is a sad commentary that during a recent concern that the council is being reckless with city funds, that not one of the 151 persons who signed the petition took the few minutes to simply call the city treasurer to check the facts. The city council has also recently been criticized for not doing enough to involve or engage the citizens of Gustavus. Perfect. They already had a plan. We'll have meetings about the most important and controversial issues. Trying to get people out, trying to get people heard. But instead, people are all upset, thinking the decisions are already made. This is an attempt by you, the city council, to engage people, to get their opinions. And so it's just kind of sad that it's taken in a spirit of fear. And I don't think it's helpful to the city. I don't think it's helpful to anybody. Anyway, so I appreciate the town hall meetings, and I'm excited about going because I have strong feelings about some of the issues that I want you guys to know, and I'm going to let you know in concern. Anyway, and that's an opportunity for people to not even have to stand up. You can interact one-on-one with people and get their opinions. People can ask questions, express concerns, and that's a positive thing. It's not intended to railroad, but a sincere attempt to engage the citizenry. I am grateful for it and plan to attend at least the ones I feel strongly about. Yes, it's hard in the summer because we are so busy, but there's 2 days and time options available, which I thought was awesome. Many people leave in the winter, holidays have to be worked around, and many don't like going out in bad weather. As busy as it is, summer is the best time to give voice to the greatest number of people. In fact, many people here would not have a voice if it was done in the winter. And I implore the citizens of this wonderful city to reflect on what our true treasure is, an attitude of fairness, grace, and positive community spirit. If we lose that, it will diminish us, no matter how beautiful our surroundings. That is what really makes us unique. To the members of the City Council, all of our staff, and Tom, our city administrator, thank you for your hard work. Thank you for caring so much about each and every citizen. Thank you for responding to criticisms with patience and professionalism. Thank you for giving me respect for government again and showing me what it can and should be like. I don't agree with every decision or change in the community. In a democracy, I don't always get to have my way. But I will tell you that I do have faith that you have considered every decision carefully and with integrity. And to the community, I would just like to say, I started coming to meetings because I was so discouraged and angry about government. I'm not represented in the federal government. I'm not represented in the state government. And the only way I could deal with that anger was to get involved myself and try to do something. So I started coming to meetings. I've been coming to meetings for about a year and a half. Totally boring. I would way rather be home. Sometimes I have to drag myself here, bring candy, coffee, whatever, you know. But the thing is, I was, and I didn't expect it to be cool. I didn't expect to appreciate it. But I'll tell you what, in coming to these meetings, I was so impressed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a voice. I have a voice. And I hear the city council month after month, even trying not, you know, every little comment, no matter how even absurd it is, they take seriously. They talk about seriously, professionally, kindly, patiently. And I really encourage you guys to show up, because I really think if you come, you'll change your opinion. But if you can't, if you don't come, somebody can tell you, yeah, they're trying to railroad you, and you're going to believe it because you haven't seen it yourself. And I appreciate it. It's changed my whole feeling. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate you even trying, the voiceless, even trying to think about what, well, there's going to be other opinions of us. What would they be if they were talking to us? I see the council doing that, so thank you for that. And I just love you guys, so.
Let her go. Just any questions for Karen?
I
wanted to thank Karen just for all the volunteer hours she puts in here, helping us get through our meetings and running the projectors and all. So thanks, Karen. We appreciate all your work you do with us. Next is Leslie Sierstadt.
When I signed that paper, I didn't realize that I was volunteering. Get me right away. I'm in trouble.
I have a publicity tomorrow. Just kidding.
Like so many of us, thank you, Karen. Thank you, Linda, both of you, and everyone that's here. When the commotion came up, I realized, okay, I've been hiding out in my back area and not paying attention to a whole lot, not running to meetings, and I do not run for the council. Maybe in the old days, but I haven't in a long time. I don't get to talk to a lot of people, so I don't have the understanding of everybody that I should. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I did sign the petition, and I appreciated everything Linda said, and she talked to my heart on it. I thought she did a very good job. I enjoyed what Karen said. I think she did a very good job. So there's not one answer. But I did understand that I had to do something, as Karen said. So very recently, I started coming to meetings. And then I thought, well, I got to understand what they're talking about. So Karen helped me, and I found out all of this is online, if you happen to be online people, which I am not, but I'm journal good. I found out that I think every document that's been worked on by any city government since it was formed is online. All the minutes are online. All the department reports are online. All you have to do is go look. If they're going to have a meeting next week, you can go online, and that agenda paper is there, so you'll know what they're going to talk about. There it is. And then the approved minutes later are attached to it.
Online.
I mean, everything you want is there. It does take a little time. It takes a little understanding. Government ease, or whatever you want to call it. But we have no excuse for not knowing what's going on. The budget's online. Mile after mile of paper. Itty bitty print.
Big print.
It's all on there. All we have to do is pull it up. If they're discussing something, we can go look for the document. Or not. We don't have to. But you've got the agenda, so you can kind of follow on, you know, with them, what they're doing. I don't always agree with everybody, that's true. people don't agree with me, I can't understand it. I appreciate everyone up there because you ran for the office. I didn't run for the office, so I cannot fuss with you. And I appreciate whoever set up this file system, being an old clerk. They did a terrific job. And there's cross references, so if you can't find it here, you can find out where it's over there. I just think they've done a good job, a very good job. And it's our own fault if we, you know, don't understand. And we ought to just look into it a little better. There are volunteers in almost every department. That's online, too. there's employees, of course, we know that. That's online. It's just, we can find it. It's all there. And we can follow, and we can delve into things or not. It's up to us. Okay? And we can, of course, ask them questions. You can see that they've been interested in what people are saying. So thank you very much, each and every one of you. I may give you trouble off and on.
before you leave, I think Mike has a question for you.
I should ask a question, but actually what I wanted to do is thank you for your service as a dispatcher in our fire department. And,
it's a good thing that Michael's there and Betsy's there. Megan's
and
there.
All of you are adding so much to the quality of our 911 service. You're there when that call comes in, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, last on the list is Elizabeth Knapp.
Well, I don't really have anything that was on the agenda. I just wanted to have a little comment on what Mr. Howell said, but the issue of the sea lion may be not an issue because state already is ordering the big grinder, so all the fish waste is supposed to be all grounded, and that should have probably been done years ago, but I thought to Job
is that
they're already doing it.
That's really
new. Thank you.
Wow, that's good news. I haven't heard that before. I have an apology to make to Phoebe because I skipped over you during staff reports. And you were supposed to give us the financials. And there was something that I wanted to say afterwards. So I have to ask you to come. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to just...
I didn't have any prepared comments, so...
Well, I just want to make sure everybody knows that every time these financials come up, every council member has to review this, and we have to initial it that we reviewed this every month. It's part of our financial controls. So I just want folks to know that as far as the budget and budget execution, everyone at this table is supposed to know about this stuff, and every month we're signing off, or every month that we get this financials, we sign off on this. And one of the other points I wanted to make here, back on the summary sheet, basically, if you look at the bottom line on this thing, for the recent fiscal year just ended, the end of June, we executed our planned budget at 95%. So we only spent 95% of the budget that we thought we were going to spend. And on the flip side of that, as far as the revenues, we collected 110% of what we thought we were going to collect as revenue. So as far as the financial management of this city, I don't think citizens have to worry about whether we're going broke or not, because year after year, we always seem to be able to manage our budget so that we spend less than what we think and make more than what we think. And over the years, we have taken those savings and we've put it into savings to the point now where one of the things we're going to be talking about today here later on is putting money into a repair and replacement fund for our infrastructure. So these are some of the financial decisions that this council makes, and we do think about the future financial health of this city when we do that. And I think we've done a very good job. We have really good people here helping us, making sure we're following all the right rules and following the laws, like the health insurance laws. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why our administrative costs went up over the past 4 years is because we had to comply with the federal health insurance laws. Another reasons why our administrative expenses went up, our employee expenses went up, is 4 years ago we hired a fire chief. That's important because that lowered the premiums that every one of us pay in fire insurance. That's important. It was important to the city. So, you know, people are concerned about the growth in our permanent salaries and the growth in our administrative costs. Well, there was good reason for all that. And this council had to do the responsible thing to comply with the law, to ensure that we have a fire chief, those kind of things. And I'm really proud of this council for making those decisions and making those tough decisions. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that as far as the financials go. Any other questions about financials? Okay. We're done with comment on non-agenda items. Let's do the consent agenda real quick, and then we'll take a bio break.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda.
Okay, there's two items on the consent agenda. It's a certificate of records destruction. Oh, that's right.
Okay. You said all the records are online.
I'll second the motion.
No.
The first item is a certificate of records destruction for the records we can destruct. And then the other one is introduction of the FY2006 NCO, which is our repair and replacement contribution to our AMLIP accounts. So that's on the consent agenda. I have a second. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from this consent agenda for a full discussion? Seeing none, do any council members wish to have any item removed from this consent agenda for full discussion?
Can we ask questions?
Sure. What
is AMLIP?
Alaska Municipal Investment.
Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool.
Okay. It's a special account that we get, good interest rate on that we put our savings into for certain things like capital investment program, this repair and replacement account, the roads account, I think the endowment fund is in, no, the endowment fund is separate, that's right. Okay, there's been nothing removed from consent agenda. If there's unanimous consent, I would ask for unanimous consent on our consent agenda. And we have unanimous consent. Let's have a quick 5-10 minute break, and then we'll go on to our public hearing.
Is there a version of
the fish grinder?
Everybody, thank you so much for coming.
Maybe fishing again. I really do, because that would solve a lot of problems.
Good thing you're asking. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, poor Woody in Petersburg. He got shot.
Woody Petersburg?
Woody, the feline in Petersburg, he got shot because he got trained.
I'm not really
everything I do. I don't, like my son always says to me, don't listen to that music. I think I probably will sometime. Right now I do a lot of kids stuff.
I know.
Oh,
I brought my parents. I brought my hair in my hand. Busted.
Hearing. The first one up is FY2001 NCO. It's for our road maintenance funds for FY19. We introduced this last month. At this time, I'm going to open up this time for public hearing. This NCO basically moves money from leftover monies for road maintenance from last year into our AMLIP account for road maintenance, our regular road maintenance AMLIC account. So basically, this moves money from last year into our savings account for the future. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this NCO?
Would that money that you're going to move into the savings account, is that still held only for maintenance of roads?
We put it into a special road maintenance account. We've tried to forward, about 2 years ago, we tried to forward fund about 2.5 years of road maintenance back then. And so as we get our roads money reimbursements from the feds and we put the money back in, it kind of just, but it's just a way for us to keep track of it, of the accounting and everything, what we're doing here.
Thank you.
But yeah, any other comments, public comment? Okay. Ready for motion. This is the end of the public hearing. Time for a motion. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Thank you.
I move to adopt Ordinance FY20-01 NCO, an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of the City Held Accounts for fiscal year 2019.
I'll second that. Okay. It's been moved by Mike, seconded by Jake, to approve FY20-01 NCO, the road maintenance funds for FY19, introduced 7-08-2019. Any council discussion on this? No council discussion. I'll take that as we're ready for the question. So, clerk, can you do a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Kasapit?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-0.
Okay, we're on to the next one. This is FY20-02 NCO for road maintenance funds for FY20, introduced 7-8-2019. This is the public hearing for this is now open. This is basically a companion. What this does is it moves our money from our AMLIP road maintenance encumbered account into our checking account for use for this year for road maintenance. Again, like I explained, over the next year we'll get our federal funding and that will replace some of that. We'll have another NCO to do all that later. But anyway, that's for the public, that's what this is. Any members of the public wish to comment on this? Seeing none, we're ready for a motion.
All right, Mr. Mayor, may I move to introduce FY20-02 NCO for road maintenance funds FY20 as introduced July 8th of 19.
Just a
scroll. Order is that to introduce or to adopt?
To adopt.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt FY20-02 NCO, road maintenance funds for FY20. Council comment? Any council comment? Okay, I guess it's time for a question. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Kasapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, item 8C. This is FY20-04 NCO. This is for a Gustavus Public Library roof repair. NCO is not, this is basically putting money into our capital improvement accounts to pay for library roof repair. Any members from the public wish to comment on this? Nobody wishes to comment. Public hearing is over. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt FY20-04 NCO CP19-08, the State of Public Library Roof Repair, introduced 7/22/2019. Second.
It's been moved by Cheryl, seconded by Susan, to approve FY20-04 NCO Capital Project 19-08, the Gustavus Public Library Roof Repair. Any council comment? No council comment? Call for the question. Madam Chair, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. So this is item D, FY20-05 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20, introduced last month. This moves money around and corrects our a little bit of our FY20 budget. There was some corrections in social services and our vehicle insurance, and also, if you noticed, not getting as much as we thought, and so we have to replace that. So anyway, that's what that's all about. Any public comment on this?
I have to make a comment.
We're supposed to do the public hearing first, and then we introduce the motion.
Okay.
That's our clerk corrected me just earlier how we're supposed to do the public hearing on ordinances.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's why. So any public comment on this NCO? No public comment. Now I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we approve FY20-05 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20, introduced 7/22/2019. Second.
It's been moved by Susan and seconded by Cheryl to approve FY20-05 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY20. Any council comment or question? Any council comment on this? Doesn't appear to be. Madam Clerk, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. We're on to unfinished business and new business. New business, sorry. The first one up is a proposed resolution, CY19-16.
Make a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to adopt. Thank you. I'd like to propose to adopt CY19-16 to assure the sustainable practice of matching the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and subsequent increase in economic activity as reflected in local tax and fee revenues.
Moved by Cheryl.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Jake. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. To approve CY19-16 to assure the sustainable practice of matching the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and subsequent increase in economic activity as reflected in local tax and fee revenues. This is the time where the public can comment on what they think about this. So at this time, people who want to provide us any thoughts or comments on this, but welcome to at this time. Just raise your hand if you want to speak to this.
I just a quick question. I haven't reviewed it. Is there an opportunity later to do this, or are you going to tell a motion and pass it or not pass it? I mean, yeah, so I'm not sure. The language is vague, and so when you're looking at expansion of revenue to match expansion of the city, there's a bunch of variables. So it's pretty loose language, actually, because it's like, what's the population? You know, how is that? How is that measured, and what does that mean in terms of the average citizen here, homeowner, or you know, are we looking at so I don't really understand the details of that, so I haven't reviewed it.
And I think that is a very good comment, and those are the kind of comments that we need to hear from people in this setting. I mean, that's precisely the kind of comment that we're looking for as a council.
So, thank you.
any other public comment on this?
It is possible then to postpone it. It's not something you have to act on right now, that we can catch up, please.
If that is your specific suggestion to this council that we postpone, you should say that, and we will take that into account when we decide on the motion. So
as I said before, I'm trying to play catch-up, so I don't want to, if it's not proper, it's my fault I'm playing catch-up.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know what's proper.
If folks would like a chance just to read this and think about it for a few minutes here, right? Is that okay with the maker of the motion?
So I'm not sure if it's just a few minutes, but the language, a resolution to assure the sustainability practice of matching the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and subsequent increase in economic activity. That's just a whole mouthful of variables right there, and it's all open to interpretation. So I think it's too broad. So my gut feel on this is that needs to have perhaps to be retooled, and it's not really ready for a motion yet.
Okay, I
can. Or have some more clarifying language beneath it so that there are parameters, because right now there are no real parameters.
My comment was, since I got here and read this, I've been educated that resolution is not a word of law. It's not the same as an ordinance. So this is what is it, the resolution? Is it your opinion, your intent? Is that what the city council's statement of opinion and intent? And then so maybe you don't want to be concrete about it? Or maybe all of us need just a little bit more. A resolution, this is not an ordinance, so therefore it doesn't have enough more detail. Is that true or not? I don't think I understand that.
Can you just give a little history of it, of how this evolved?
Okay, let me back up. We had this 152-person page petition that came in. It was a petition for initiative to be put on the October ballot. Our clerk or staff reviewed that petition, found it to be not in compliance with the law as far as getting a petition on the ballot for voting in October. There were members of the council who were interested at that time to work with the proponent of that petition to come up with a resolution that accomplished some of the things that this petitioner, that the main petitioner wanted, and this was an attempt at trying to do that. Now, there was a draft that was presented to us at the last work session. I think I would be fair to say that the council was uncomfortable with that language that was first proposed at the work session. Council members worked with the proponent and basically came up with a revised resolution that was put in our packet for this meeting on Wednesday, or Thursday, and it's been posted since Thursday. Now, I don't know, I can't presuppose what the vote of this council is going to be based on public testimony on this. I don't know. We're taking, I'm trying to take public comment, again, a public comment on this draft resolution. So that's kind of where we're at. Go ahead.
I would request the council table this action until the next meeting so you have time to go through the 259 letters and comments thereupon that Linda Parker presented. And you pick it up at the next meeting or thereafter under unfinished business.
That's a specific comment and suggestion that's been given to us. Thank you.
Two things. Is the motion on the table to adopt or publish?
No, it's to adopt this resolution.
So this has been presented at a prior public meeting for...
Resolutions don't have to be posted.
Okay. Yeah. And then my other question is, you mentioned that if this developed in response to a petition that was submitted, but it's my understanding, or at least I think I understand that petition that was submitted that prompted this is not what was presented tonight. It was a separate...
Correct.
Resolution.
Correct.
A referendum that was going to be put on the ballot. Could you elaborate what that was? What that referendum was?
It was similar language. It was to balance expansion of city services with the population increase and economic increase. It had similar language.
Local tax
revenue. Yeah. But it was ruled not to be in compliance with a bunch of laws in the Constitution and why it couldn't be accepted. Go ahead, Susan.
I have the, there was the proposal, if I could clarify, there was the proposal that was not deemed sufficient to go to the ballot, and then the Gustavus Budget Watch group circulated the petition for 152 signatures, and that petition read, "We, the undersigned voters, petition the Gustavus City Council to apply the amount of local tax revenue collected in taxes and fees as a maximum amount for the total payroll expenses, except by a vote of the citizens or by an increase in local tax revenue." And then there was a subsequent statement that said, "Therefore, the City Council's, we request the City Council sustainably match the expansion of city services to the growth of the population and an increase in economic activity as reflected in local tax revenues." So you can see that statement made it into this draft, but the initial statement that the 152 people signed the petition for did not make it into this wording of the resolution.
Any other comments?
I would request that this be given another week or two of thought and before a vote is taken on it as well. So that would be a specific request. Because it doesn't, what happens if the population decreases? This would be growth. So what happens if the converse happens? I don't think we've really looked at all the potential impacts.
I need people to state their names because I don't exactly know everybody's name. I'm not sure of your name.
Awesome.
But I wasn't sure. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other anything said? Anything that needs to be said that hasn't been said already on the part of? Okay. I'm going to take this and we're going to put it on. This is now before the council for deliberation and comment. I'm going to let other folks speak before I do. So, anybody wants to speak first? Go ahead.
Our intent in the rewrite was to capture better, we felt, the actual intent behind the original petition and the version of a resolution that was presented to us and follow up to that, because we did want to take on board what the community was asking us to do. And in discussions with the primary petitioner, we got a better feeling in our work session about what the intent was. And so we tried to put that into this wording and to actually strengthen it, to pick up statements that would reflect our intent to be rigorous in our application of, in the management of our budget, not just rigorous, but actually conservative, to keep the city out of any potential future problems, recognizing that there's always uncertainties about income from taxes, from fees, from state and federal funding, and so forth, and that we want to express that our intent was to be very conservative and rigorous in line with the expectation of the petitioners. And then we also added a paragraph about capital projects that said we would only approve capital projects from existing saved funds that we already have in the bank from the surpluses that we run every year, or from grant funds. In other words, we're not going to approve a capital project that where we're betting on the come on taxes coming in to cover it. We're only going to do capital projects that are essentially already paid for. So our hope in doing this was to capture the intent of the petitioners and to strengthen that in our resolution, in stating what we resolve to do in future budgeting and managing of city finances. That's my view of it.
Any other council comment?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I don't know. When Colleen was here at the work session, speaking for the Budget Watch group, it seemed that in the subsequent meeting that three council members, Jake, Cheryl, and I had with the Budget Watch group, that she was, as far as we knew, she was leaving on a plane the next day, prepared to say okay to this language. That was my impression of that meeting anyway. But she very specifically and a couple of times said that she could not speak for the 152 petition signers, nor had we seen Linda's 250, however many, letters and their comments. So I'm personally not comfortable that this really is capturing their intent. And I would welcome more time to try to figure out how to do that, because I think this is really, really important, and it's really important to seeing how many people have turned out, how many people have signed letters, how many people really care about this issue, that we get this right. And so I would not be comfortable passing this as it is, and would welcome opportunity to work more on it. One more thing. The original petition wording that set an actual amount, the local tax revenues, as a cap, in subsequent conversations with our treasurer, she indicated to me that there might be problems with how to actually do that in practice. So, you know, there's some more things that need to be worked out about how to get this right, and I would welcome opportunities to work on that.
Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
I guess my thought is that this is a separate from Linda Parker's letter. The attachment, it addresses each of the issues that we'll be dealing with in the town halls, and I don't think extending the time frame, mixing the two, this isn't what that addresses, and hers is a separate. I'd like to proceed with, because I think it's good intent language, and I think it addresses the concerns that people have.
Go ahead, Jane.
All right.
So if it looks like we're not going to table and possibly proceed, I've got the easiest edit ever. And that is in the title, change where it says matching the expansion, change the to any, so that way it's not presumed that we're going to expand. That's it. That's my proposed amendment. If anyone cares,
okay.
A second.
A second.
Okay.
A second.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that. And I note that we kept the same title that was given to us by the petitioner. So that text in the title we didn't change. But I do, I think that does clarify because, of course, we can have reductions in services, I mean, reductions in our funding and reductions in our population. And the intent of this is to make sure that regardless of what the changes are, that we are managing our budget conservatively.
Go ahead.
I just want to speak to that. Well, some of you are seeing it for the first time. We have had it for several weeks now. And the petitioner, when we talked to the individual that was kind of the petitioner, she talked about that motivation or concern was slowing growth, that she felt like with all the subjects that have been out there now, I think that and with other things that have happened budget-wise, that growth seemed to be on the mind of the council. Whether or not that's true, we don't know, but she wanted to put something forth. It was originally for ballot, but since that didn't go through as planned, that she just wanted to make sure to bring it to the council and see what we could do to meet the needs of the people who signed it that are concerned about this. And so, to me, postponing it, I'm not inclined to do that because I feel like maybe we've already waited too long. But also, I want to throw out there that we already do this. The council already does what this resolution says. Phoebe, our treasurer, whoever the treasurer be, should be doing it. Phoebe definitely is doing this. This is our job. And so this is basically stating what we're doing already. And I think that it's important that since people don't seem to understand that we put it out there and just state it that, again, that this is what we do, we are thinking about this, and we're going to move forward thinking about this.
Okay, well, we do have an amendment on the table that we need to dispose of that first. Is there any discussion about the actual amendment of adding any instead of D? Is there any other discussion? Okay, let's vote on that amendment. Question on the amendment to change the to any.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Mayor Cassavet.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-0. So now we have the main motion.
We have a main motion as amended. Now we can have a discussion about whether or not.
Should I say that again?
No, please.
Sorry about that.
Let's see. I think everybody's had a chance to speak once except me, and now I'm going to take my chance to speak once.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The concern from the public is that I just heard about not having much of a chance to react to this and asking for us to spend a little bit more time thinking about this is well stated and should be heeded. I myself have concerns about some of that wishy-washy interpreted several different ways type language. And I do want to state again that the therefore be it resolved are things that we already do anyway, and we're required to by either state statute or municipal law already, or it's already required for us to do all this already, except for one thing, and this makes me nervous as well, because down in there in that further resolve, that last one, that capital improvements can only come from our savings or grants. That may be all well and good, but we could be cutting ourselves off from some other types of funding that maybe isn't a grant or save funds. It could be low interest municipal bonds where half the interest gets reimbursed by another agency or another granting agency or something, or that sort of thing. I think we have to be careful about tying our own hands about future things that makes me very uncomfortable. And without thinking about it and having it staffed out, maybe as a second class city, we don't qualify for those municipal bonds where we get our interests reimbursed. Maybe we don't qualify for that. I don't know. It needs to be staffed out. We need to figure that out. The advice from some of the commenters for us to take a slower approach to this, I think, is well based. And I'm having those same niggling feelings in my gut that tell me the same thing. And I don't know. Who knows? It looks to me that I'm in the minority here. But anyway, do we need to go for another round of comments?
I just would like to acknowledge that I think you make a good point on the, you know, there may be some other sources that are equally conservative funding. I'm not aware, but we didn't think of them when we were writing this. And if there are, it'd be nice to be able to include them. Do you think we could find out, say over the next month, what those might be?
I would ask staff to kind of research that if there's any. I mean, I want to make sure if we're going to sign on to that, you know, we're not closing any doors.
Yeah. Currently, this is essentially what we do and have done for a long time. If there are other sources that, you know, we don't want to miss a good opportunity for something the public really wants in the way of a capital project just because we're constraining ourselves artificially, I think is your...
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
That's my concerns, and so, you know.
In other words, this might be too conservative in some instances.
Any other comment? I guess we can.
Somebody want to move to postpone, or?
Well, there is a motion on the table, and that is to approve this.
Could be a motion to postpone
if somebody wishes to do that.
I would make a motion, sir.
There's a motion to postpone.
I'll second. You say what time postpone to next meeting?
Next general meeting, postpone to next general.
I'll second that.
So there's a motion on the table to postpone till the next meeting that takes precedence, correct? Okay. We will take a vote on postponing then. I should take discussion. Is there any discussion on postponing? It doesn't appear to be. So we will take a vote to postpone.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Mayor Caput.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
No.
Councilmember Cook. Did I not hear you?
No, I haven't said yet.
Oh, okay.
I think postpone the vote.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts, so I'll vote yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0.
So we will postpone consideration of this until next year. Next month. We'll direct staff to look at some of these questions of on the capital budget stuff if that closes out of municipal bonds, that sort of stuff. Next on the agenda is another proposed resolution, CY19-17, a resolution to improve the practice of active outreach by city council members.
Mr. Mayor, may I move that we adopt resolution CY19-17, a resolution to improve the practice of active outreach by the city of Gustavus council members.
Second.
It's been moved by Jake, seconded by Shelley to approve CY19-17, improving the practice of active outreach by city council members. At this point, I would like to invite public comment on this as well. I'll give a chance. I heard a good out there. Yay. Any other public comment? Okay. I'll take this on the table, and now this is before the council for discussion and deliberation. And council members will have a chance to speak on this as well. So anybody wish to speak on this? Go ahead.
I would like to just read from the Constitution of our great state of Alaska, two sentences out of Section 2, Sources of Government. All political power is inherent in the people. All government originates with the people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the people as a whole. I just am delighted to see this resolution because I think it very much captures some of what the feeling has been in the community about wanting to have more of a voice and giving the council direction to take more actions toward teasing that out, bringing that out. So that's my comment.
Any other comment? Council comment? Go ahead, Jane.
Not sure what I'll say yet. I've got something. So this also originated as part of that, I don't know if the word's referendum, but the item that that came out that the last initiative or the last resolution also referenced. And this particular resolution was put together along with Colleen, with Lillian, and with council members as well. And we're kind of struggling with what's something that we can show our intent that still has, you know, a way to hold us accountable, what's really going to help with these issues, such as not just 152, but the 200, whatever it was, today as well. And I think it fits well and really shows that even though a lot of it's stuff we already do, I mean, we've got the state constitution, we've got state statutes, we've got city ordinance telling us to do all this, I think there's ways in here that says that we can do a little bit better, and we can look outside of just these meetings, you know, taking some of the considerations that people have already shared. So that's why I'm supporting this one.
Any other comment? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I echo that, and you know, I think this also goes to the core of what Linda Parker is presenting and others in asking us to find more ways to reach out to those people who may not find it easy to come to meetings or who may need some other way of approaching it. This doesn't give us solutions yet for that. It says that we will try to find ways to do that. And And I've been on the council long enough to know that this has been a concern for years of the council of how we improve public input. And frankly, the city, the town hall meetings that we've talked about were one of those means that we're attempting to do that to get feedback from the public on a series of topics that sometimes we've heard from a subset of the community wanting. There are some people that want police powers here of some kind, or that want dog control or a bunch of other things that maybe not everybody wants, but we have to bring them forward in some way, and the town hall meetings is a first stab at trying to do that for some topics that we have had brought to us. And we need to approach those openly, you know, and be responsive to those requests. But it's unfortunate when people think that we are approaching them with some preconceived plan, you know, which some people may have thought. But so I think this says we're going to do our best to keep trying to find new ways, whether it's social media and other methods to capture more input. And I'm proud to support it.
Any other comments? I have no problems with this resolution. I will support it. Again, you know, this is stuff that we're, again, the stuff we're required to do anyway, and as a public servant, we should be doing this anyway, even if it's not required of us. I did want to mention the town hall thing, that a little bit of take off on what Mike was saying. I know there's a bunch of concern, you know, that somehow that we have some preconceived notion about what we want to do on these town hall topics. That is not true. What we're trying to do is foster some shared learning of the council and our citizens to have a free and open discussion about some pretty meaty topics that folks were talking about, well, you know, we want to keep things the way they are. We want, you know, that sort of thing. Well, in all these little topics, there are some tools for doing that. I mean, for instance, the land use designation stuff, people are upset about that, as well as they should. But we need to hear from folks about what they think about land use designations and what that, and all the other, on the flip side of that, what does that mean for the community if we were to institute something like that? I mean, the question that flows around in my mind is, and this was, the former mayor told me this when I first came on, she told me there's 1,000 undeveloped lots in Gustavus. And you know, so I know it's got to be germane to the motion, but as far as the regular town halls, these town hall meetings that we're proposing is a way for us to learn together and to look at some of the things coming on the horizon and learn together. We don't have a preconceived notion about where we're going, and with that, I'm going to vote in favor of this. This is a way for us to try to improve our public input and try to improve our outreach and get more people involved. So, anyway. Thank you, clerk, for keeping me in line. But I. Anything else? Any other comments from the council? I know I took my turn ahead of somebody else, but you want to listen. Go ahead.
I already spoke, but I just wanted to point out that my story with the council is the same as Karen's, in that I came here, I think the first time I remember being in City Hall was maybe 2004, in a meeting with the fire hall and some other issues that didn't go very well. And I decided I was just going to come back to one more meeting, and that one didn't go well either. So I stayed completely away from City Hall for 12 years, something like that. Until I got more involved, and then it took, after a few months of being involved, I realize, you know, we can get over these type of things. And this, from my, like, my first day, is what I wanted to do. And now I'm down to my last, what, two general meetings, and we're getting to it. So even though it's stuff we already mostly do, it's a big deal. I mean, it could really, it could work. We've got to really follow up on it.
I'm excited about the town halls and trying to be a little more experimental in how we get people's input. I'm really excited about that. And if that means websites and monkey surveys or surveys,
survey monkey surveys,
whatever that is.
I want a monkey survey, please.
Anyway, I think we're ready for a question, Madam Clerk. Oh, okay. The motion on the table is to approve CY 1917, improve the practice of active outreach by city council members.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Resounding yes.
Mayor Caspett?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 6-0.
Let's see, where are we at now? City Council reports.
No.
No? I'm like skipping ahead. Oh, no. We got more. Okay, sorry. RFP FY20 COG01, the beach parking lot site plan.
Can we get that one up? Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, what we're actually looking at here is the RFP, and what you're asking, or what we have on the agenda, is to award it. And we're not seeing their proposal. I don't know if everybody has had a chance to look at their proposal. We had only one proposal, as I understand it, from PMD engineers. I reviewed it. I did look it over and was quite pleased with the proposal. But I don't know if everybody's had a chance to.
We did bring it up there. See, they're working on it out there. TV is bringing it up. They're trying to
bring it up. Yeah, but it's a lot of pages. And, I guess to put it officially on discussion, I'll go ahead and move to award RFP FY20-COG01 beach parking lot site plan to PMD engineers per their proposal received this week.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded, so we can discuss this, I guess. Tom, would you like to respond to?
Sure. So as we discussed at the work session, the RFP response deadline was this morning, so that we were able to give them enough time to respond to the RFP. Obviously, the packet had already been out. So we held the subject on the agenda with the expectation that we would have received responses, been able to recommend one, and then have that ready for this evening. Well, we only received the one, so there wasn't a need to do an evaluation of competitors. And I did send it out, but it was late in the process.
And when?
Oh, go ahead. Somebody else.
Go ahead.
I just had a question about, I don't know what it is for.
They have the proposal that the city administrator put out, or that we approved for them to put out, asked for engineering work to plan and even develop construction documents for a long-term parking area And at the originally we had thought we might be able to do it in that place behind the dray, but that spot is within the lease zone for the tank farm to the dray. Behind the spot behind the tank farm, which is leased by the grid, and the leasee objects to sharing any of that extra property for good reasons. And so the proposer was notified of that issue, and we asked them to give us ideas and planning for a long-term parking that would be somewhere within track A and B, but not on track B1, presumably. So they have proposed engineering services to do that with rates and estimated total cost. And I don't have that actually right in front of me, but it was around $27,241. That would take it all the way through all the planning and design work and development of construction ready bid documents. So I think it's a good proposal. It's the kind of proposal that, you know, I'm used to seeing in my time in public works in Fairbanks, and it's a high quality firm, and I think we get excellent work from them. The only thing that gives me any pause is the timing, and the question that I raised in the work session a week ago, that, you know, as to whether we would want to postpone starting this until we have some more experience with our existing plan to provide specific outline parking areas on the east and west side of the dock and gain experience from that. Now, that could also be it could occur in parallel, and we could give the engineers even another year to do a final plan based on that experience if we wanted to.
One thing the response did not provide for was any environmental permitting. There's a concern that the area to be considered for a parking lot could have wetlands or other protected vegetation. So the bid did not include any filing for permits with Army Corps DEC, but it did include a survey review of National Wetlands Inventory, whether or not it would be required. Most likely, it'll be required, but that would be in addition to what their word bid is here.
I guess that's enough of a summary. Is there any public comment on this before we?
I was at that work session a few days ago, and I don't quite understand where this is coming from either. I thought that the east side of the cul-de-sac was going to be reserved for parking, and it was going to be blocked off with logs or whatever. And then I just learned a bit ago that the west side was also being considered. So a lot of that parking is now, you're hanging on to it. I talked to Tom a few days ago, too, about the spot where the old tank farm was. Is fit for 8 to 10 cars, and it's already gravel topped and great for the taking. And it just seems premature to spend $27,000 on something that's going to be farther away. People aren't going to use if they have to walk any farther than they have to. And might be best just to utilize what we have and wait and see what the ferry situation is next summer.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know where the old tank farm was. I don't know.
Just on the street side of the new tank farm.
Oh, okay.
There's about
got it.
About 100 feet of grass there now.
Yes, okay.
Where the
gotcha.
Welcome,
I didn't realize
the
that was the old tank farm.
Right.
Gotcha.
I have a question. Do I recall that there are monitoring wells in that space from the old? There might be an issue for building a parking lot over the top of them.
I only recall one, and it's toward the north end of it.
Yeah.
And it was just flush with the ground, concreted in. I didn't go look for it. I think I remember it being there.
Oh.
Chairman, you think that the environmental considerations are not part of the RFP, is that correct?
The permitting is not.
The permitting is
not.
Right. But I just know that once you start bringing environmental considerations into the equation, it can really escalate the cost. And so if there are concerns about those being protected areas, wetlands, et cetera, that's just an outline cost. It's a variable, once again, we don't know what it would look like.
Any other?
I don't get down there too often. I've been here. I'm Ken Levine. I don't get down there too often, but every time I've gone down there, I've never had a problem parking. Is there a big good demand of parking down there?
I don't have the clerk get mad at me. In some of the earlier stages of the beach planning, that west side area was going to be off limits to any vehicle off the road. So that west side area was not going to be available for parking. There was a bunch of concern, and I shared it, of what that does to that whole area on ferry days when people can't park out on the island and they have to park. And on ferry days, that gets really congested there, and if we prohibited people from parking on the west side, that's just going to add to, you know, people parking on the streets, on the road. And so the idea was to provide another parking area before we cut off access on the west side. That's what the idea was.
Yeah, that's about the only, I use the ferry, not a lot, but I do see that congestion, but that only lasts about half hour, 45 minutes.
Right, but people have to park for all day if they're out there. If you go out on your boat, the charter boat operators, if I go out on my boat, I have to park there instead of out on the island.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Or anybody. So, any other public comment on this? Okay. It's now to the table for deliberation discussion. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Did you want to talk first?
No. You raised your hand first. So you get
I'm not in support of aborting this. I agree with Jim. His comments and was what I was thinking as well. We need to assess what's going to happen with our initial parking areas. And I was kind of for the parking. When it was thought that it could be behind the tank farm, it's already there. You do a little bit of improvement, it's like there. But practically speaking, I don't believe it would be worth the money at this time. Maybe a year or two from now, we could look at something like that. But I also don't believe just that the beach group, I believe that they would have issues with taking any of the beach area for parking, creating parking away from where it's already been kind of worn. I'm not sure of that, but that would be my initial guess from that group.
I don't think we should be voting on a proposal that we haven't seen.
Any other comments or questions?
Just because it's been a while since I brought it up, but beach management and funding, I'm recused of for voting on because my family has a property nearby. And just so if we come to a vote, for everyone's wondering why I'm not voting.
Okay, are we ready for the question? I think we are. Go ahead.
Would
Shelley's comment in mind, which also concerns me, as I mentioned earlier. I'd move to postpone till the November general meeting. Which would be a new council, I admit. I think, number one, we need time to for everybody to understand the proposal, and it just hasn't been enough time. And maybe we need to think about what the schedule might be for this, and whether we'd like the engineers to do, say, the first scoping part about what are the options, what the options might be. We can manage a project like this.
Are you making the motion, and somebody needs a second?
So we need a second first before you.
So that's my reason for suggesting a postponement.
I'll second a postponement to November general meeting.
So it's been moved and seconded. Mike just explained his rationale. Postponement takes precedent over the main motion. So now the motion on the table is to postpone until the November meeting, regular meeting. Any discussion on that? Okay, we're ready to vote on that.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
No.
Mayor Cassett?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes, to postpone.
Okay, motion passes 4-1.
Okay. I hope we can notify the engineering firm P&D that we appreciate their bid that we need to take, or their proposal, and we would like to keep it under consideration until we have a better idea of what our schedule might be.
Can you do that, Tom?
I will.
Okay, thank you. Okay, item 10D, award RFP FY20 COG02, our gravel pit survey.
Oh, I see I've got my name on that. And again, we don't have that in our packet, so I'm afraid I'm not prepared to move on that one. Maybe somebody else does better or knows better than I do.
Well, just to get on the table, I'm going to move that we award RFP FY20 COG02 City Gravel Pit Survey.
Seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to award. It's been moved by me, seconded by Vice Mayor Warner to award RFP FY20 COG02 City Gravel Pit Survey. This is awarding a contract to do the survey work to survey our gravel pit area for any possible. We need to know the exact boundaries on the ground so that we can maximize the amount of gravel we can get out of those pits that we are currently leased to do. Anyway, that's kind of what's here, what this is about. Any public comment on this? No public comment on this. Okay. I'm going to support this motion. I'm going to vote in support of awarding this RFP. We've been trying to get this survey done for quite some time now. For me to say that the situation with gravel for this city is at a critical stage is an understatement. We are going to run out of gravel soon, folks. Within the next 2 years, there will be no more gravel there for us to get if we don't do something. We have a bunch of things going on. One of the things we're trying to do is this survey to put the lines on the ground so that our operators know exactly where they can dig and where they can't under our existing leases. There's some other things we're trying to do. Folks may be aware of. We're looking at maybe doing a suction dredge to extend the life of the existing ponds we have. We have some efforts to try to go to the DNR to lease some more land to do some more borrowing like we normally do with the excavators and all that stuff. That's all going to be discussed and talked about here in these public meetings and further on as we go through the next few months. In my mind, getting this survey is absolutely critical. We need to know on the ground where the line is so that our operators can continue to provide gravel to the community. Some people say, oh, $12,000 to do a survey. Well, you know, that's how much it costs because, you know, that's just how much it costs. Anyway, so I'm prepared to vote in favor of this. I'd be happy to, if any other council members want to discuss this, that's fine. I'm voting for it. No, go ahead.
Can we take 5 minutes, make copies, 6 pages, we'll read it, and then we'll have had an opportunity to see it?
That's fine. I have a half an hour before I'm not going to ask for an extension of time on this meeting. 10 o'clock is it. But if we want to make copies and circulate them.
I think we can print copies, but I wonder if we couldn't move on to the next item while we're waiting for the copies to be printed, because that thing is like mega slow. Which is approving calculations for an endowment fund grant.
If I might make a suggestion that those of us with computers could receive it by email, and then anybody that needs to print a copy, let me make a copy. Maybe Phoebe could email us.
Did you hear that, Phoebe?
Okay, so let's...
I think we just need one copy then.
I need a copy.
You don't...
It's not a...
She's going to
get an email from here.
Okay. Two copies, Phoebe.
Sure. If you look back, I think it's Thursday, I sent that out. You should have.
So it's in our email?
Yeah, I saw Thursday.
Unless it got eaten by the gremlin.
I didn't know.
Check. Sorry, I missed
it. Question, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So was there just one proposal that we received, and this is the only proposal?
Yeah.
Or were there multiple?
Yes, this was the only one. I was hoping we would get another one from another group that came in here and talked to me, but they never submitted.
You and the city administrator are happy that they are fully qualified to do the work and so forth.
Yeah, they've done work.
I know this particular point. I think the price is, from what I know of this kind of work, is reasonable. And you know, with the explanation you've given to me, I'm happy to support it.
Well,
and you're right about we need to move forward on this.
Let's get the copies distributed and folks to look at it. If we can do that, and while that's going on, while the copies are made and the distribution is being made, as the clerk suggests, we'll move on to...
So we'll table it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to that as soon as we're done with this next item.
Is there a second to table it?
Second.
Tabling the right?
I think it's the tabling it for the time being. Mm-hmm. And then we pick it up from the table.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so the next one is the calculation for the endowment fund grant amounts for this year's cycle. Did everybody get a chance to see this when Phoebe first sent it out a couple weeks ago? Did everybody see this?
Yes.
Okay. I did.
I didn't have a problem with it, but is there going to be a motion? I will make the motion. Yeah, because Brittany was. I will move to approve the calculation of the endowment fund grant amount for FY for 2020 award cycle.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the calculation of the endowment fund grant amount for 2020 award cycle. Is there any public comment? If you'll notice there, you can go through it all, but you can see the bottom line is that we'll have a little over 42,000 to be distributed in this year. So any public comment on the calculation of the endowment fund grant? It's basic math. No public comment? Okay. Any council comment? Okay. I think we're ready for a vote.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassavet?
Yes.
Councilmember Owen?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, we're going to pick D back up. Your folks, we're going to stand down for, we're going to stand down till quarter till for folks to review this.
Mayor, yes. I apologize. I've been living in my outbox. I've never gotten
it. Oh, I have it now. So. What did she think?
I'm just glad we got a bit.
Crying out loud. Cutting back.
I know what it was. It was a small job. It's not a big job, and so they're not. People aren't gonna. Be interested in a small job.
We tried. We put it out there with 3 invitations to respond.
Oh, sorry.
I figured you'd catch that. I figured you'd catch it.
Did you read it?
If I read by design, the term is not by design.
Right enough.
Yeah, the operating compared to the RNA merged to have these individuals who is in a position by the way, you know, they're aware of where they're through.
Yes, Scott Martin, we've used before. They surveyed this property.
This is the time of the RNA.
Scott Martin formed it.
It's not a human. I call it
this. He's gone by himself. So he opened up his own setting the other way he wanted it. So I think that's when he sold off a couple of different ranches, R&M, and Ketchikan State, some entity under his name. And then while he was in Juneau, I think that's when he merged that ranch with PDC.
I've never heard of this guy.
I cannot wait to go back. But he's gone.
Dang.
Oh, I was on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be so glued.
My brother's making me worse.
Okay.
I thought you accused me of being a political party. I heard a different R word.
Very gently.
I got 4 minutes to sign.
Can I see the one we just signed?
I go to my browser and I go to Outlook.
Review it. Any other comments? Go ahead.
Want to hit the public first?
We already had the public comments for the
Thank you for the opportunity to read it. The only thing that jumped out at me is on page 3 of 6, the third paragraph down, it says line clearing was not identified as a project scope item. Line clearing will be along traverse lines, which may not be along the property line. Can we, when we award the contract, make it explicit that the property lines have to be designated? They could just be flagged. They don't have to be cleared, but the contractors are going to have to know where the property lines are, not just the corners. And do we need to say that explicitly in when we award it?
A couple of points. One, we're looking to do land clearing there to help increase our gravel access. Part of the land clearing, it's a chicken egg. We don't want to clear too far, but if we can clear up to where we think the boundaries are, that should help with the line of sight. The line clearing itself would be, so it's a manual process if they're actually going to have to do the line clearing. I'm hoping they'll be able to use the satellite to do it. They will have to do flagging in order. If they don't actually cut the trees, they'll have to do flagging to keep in line with the other corner. So it will be flagged by doing that. If we want to go specifically and ask them to put in stakes or something to do that, that would be additional. So I don't know if just the flags marking the, if they actually have to cut, then it won't be a problem. If they don't, if the flags aren't adequate, I don't know how they would feel about staging. Kind of walk it anyway, probably isn't a big deal, but it could be an add-on.
I just thought that we might, my presumption is that they would flag it. I mean, you'd have to. But from, you know, what do I know? So I just didn't know if we needed to make it explicit, because our contractors are going to need to know where the boundary lines are, not just the corners.
I could do a follow-up with them, ask them to do so in case they weren't planning on it. Ask them if they're planning on it. They say, well, not if you don't have to. Ask them to do it in addition to it.
Mm-hmm. But I agree. I don't think we would have to have it clear. We just have to have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I kind of agree with that. As long as they designate it, flag it somehow. I mean, I worked in the woods long enough. I can follow a flag line. You know, that's easy enough to do. It doesn't have to be cleared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clearing might require a faller.
Right.
Some big trees, so that would cost a lot more. But flagging should be within.
Flagging should be plenty good enough for our operators.
Good enough for government work.
Okay, any other comments or questions on the RFP or the award of the RFP? Okay, are we ready for the question? It looks like it. Question, please. Okay. The question before us is to award RFP FY20COG-02 the City Gravel Pit Survey.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Cassavet?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. City Council reports. Any City Council members want to make a report? Okay. Well, I just had a few things. I guess we are in comments. Yes, we are in comments. I just wanted to mention to folks here that we have a draft marine facilities plan out there for folks to comment on. This is, again, trying to get comments early before we actually put something on the table to discuss and do public notice on. Just the first blush at getting everything to do with marine facilities into one place, one handy place. So it references either Title VIII or an ordinance or what have you that deals with whatever we may be dealing with marine facilities. So I just want to let you know that's out on our website, and I think if you want a hard copy, you can come in and get a hard copy too. So we're interested in what people think about our marine facilities plan, or draft, I should say, before we publish it and start going through the official public and comment and adoption. So this is an informal.
I know that it's kind of a compilation of ordinance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a compilation of ordinance and policy and all that other stuff, but it's all in one place, and it's referenced back to those policies and those ordinances. So we were thinking it's going to be a nice one-shot stop to figure to look at how things are, how our marine facilities are managed. There's one on the roads as well. We have a draft roads plan as well out there. It's not on, but look for it. It should be up there soon. That'll be out there for people to comment soon too, as our road maintenance plans. But that's in the spirit of trying to get out stuff early for comment to folks.
When you say out there, does that mean under that packet?
No, it's they're just separate.
Okay.
All that's out there right now is the marine facilities plan, and I think we have some drafts around here, and then it's on the internet as well. There's a copy on the board there, but we can make another copy for folks if they're interested too. So, but it's just an informal way to get your input in. that's all I had. Did anybody else have any?
Do you want to mention the land use designation town halls tomorrow morning, 10 to 12, and Thursday, 6 to 8?
I'll be here. Mayor will be here. I think, yeah, council members will be here. We're trying to get at least a couple of council members, two or three council members at each of these sessions so that we can hear from folks and have an open book dialogue. Public comment on non-agenda items. Go ahead.
I just have a really quick comment, and that was just thinking about the second ordinance that you, or resolution that you had about the city council outreach, and how it was a really gracious thing. I heard some really thoughtful discussion about it, and I thought it was really well timed in light of the big, huge crowd that was in here earlier, and it's too bad not all of them stayed to hear that. And I also really wanted to thank Leslie and Karen for effectively making a counter resolution, you know, making a resolution from not counter against, but the mirror image of that resolution, which is us as citizens, we need to make a resolution to be involved in city government as well. The powers of the people, but we wield our power inappropriately if we're not fully informed. And I think that's something I get nervous about when I hear about people making Facebook comments and incorrect assumptions and signing things. So anyway, I wanted to thank you for doing that, and thank you all for speaking out as well.
Okay. With no objection, we stand adjourned. It is
9:55.
Are we sure that what they got is included in the record, public record? In other words, whatever. Did you get a copy of whatever you
have? I have a copy.
Okay. Yep. You want to go on there and say we didn't have a copy.
Right.
I just wanted to see so they're okay.
It is a full.
No, I wanted to see if they were all. Yeah, I see now that they're just copies and then.
I'm gonna need to work extra hours.
Well, okay.